better day is coming. Amen. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter 33, and always a joy to be home, and we thank God for Bible Baptist Church. Thank you, preacher. The Lord allowed us to join just a little over 10 years ago already, and I'm grateful for that, and we appreciate this place. We appreciate the man of God. And I'm so honored wherever I go that I let people know that Ricky Gravely is my pastor, and I appreciate that. I'm grateful for the man of God, and be honest with you, Dad was really honored to be a part of this church, and he said it was a great move up for him to be a part of the Bible Baptist Church. I've been thinking a lot about him lately for some reason, and looking for the day of seeing him again. And what a day that'll be. But he loved this place as much as I do. And we're grateful that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of you. And I know you pray for us, and we're grateful to be here. Of course, I had a few turned around and said, man, if I knew you was going to be here, I'd go back home, or I shouldn't have come. And so I don't know about that, but I know they were kidding. But anyway, we're grateful for the opportunity. Exodus 33 tonight, just really kind of want to remind us some things. We're going to look at verse 11, and then, as the old preacher said, and we're going to depart therefrom. Amen? Look in verse 11. The Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. The Lord being my helper tonight, I want to preach on this thought. The benefits of dwelling in the tabernacle. The benefits of dwelling in the tabernacle. Now, can I say first of all that I believe that there are some things that represented in the tabernacle that created a love in Joshua's heart. He didn't want to leave. I worry about people that don't want to go to church. I enjoy coming to the house of God. I'm in church a lot. The Lord knew I needed it, put me in evangelism, so I'm in church just about every night of my life. But you know what? I still look forward to it. I still get there early. I enjoy the house of God. Can I say a few things? First of all, I believe because of the intercession that the house of God represents. That mercy seat, the lid of the ark, it represented the mercy of God. And thank God, the older you get, the more you appreciate the mercy of God. You'll find in the beginning of this chapter that God told Moses that the children of Israel were a stiff-necked people, but he did not destroy them. The previous chapter, they were worshiping a golden calf and bowed down to it, and they were naked and dancing, the Bible said, and he only killed 3,000 of them. And so the house of God represents the mercy of God, and I'm grateful for the intercession in the house of God. Then number two, of course, you've got the law inside that ark, and that represents the instruction that we get in the house of God. I'm grateful that we have a man of God that'll take the word of God and preach to us. I appreciate Brother Danny, the pastor that I came up under. He later changed what he taught me, but he did teach me the word of God. He taught me and instructed me. And young people, you may not appreciate it now, but there'll be a day in your life you're going to appreciate coming Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and hearing the word of God. There's nothing like good old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching from God's holy word. I'm telling you, the word of God, it'll work every time. It'll build your life. It'll help you when the storms come, when troubles come. What did Brother Brian say? That message helped him. It's the house of God. It's the word of God that'll help you in your life. I thank God I have a Bible. I thank God I get preached to. I thank God for His wonderful word. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing like it. I'm telling you, I'm glad I got a Bible. Amen. I'm glad I get preached to. Hey, thank God I've never been preached to the house. I have been preached to the altar, but I never got mad and went to the house. Amen. Amen. Can I say instructions? There are instructions with mandates. There are things in God's word that he expects out of you and I. We're living in a generation that, Brother Dathan, they don't like to be told what to do today. They want to do their own thing. I was in a church the other day, and don't worry about it. I'm not going to hurt your feelings too bad. But I was amazed at all the women that had tattoos all over their body. And these are people that grew up in the house of God. And I thought, what in the world is going on in our churches in our day? The Bible does say you're not to mark yourself up. So don't leave here, young people, and go get a bunch of tattoos. God don't want you to have them. Amen. Amen. I was not planning on doing that, but anyway, instruct. There's mandates in the Word of God. He instructs us about morals, against fornication and adultery. I'm telling you, I talked to someone not too long ago, and they want to justify a fornication because saying that it really isn't a sin. Yes, it is. It's a sin against your own body. And the Word of God instructs us about morals. Can I say it even instructs us about a marriage, about the union of marriage, a man and a woman. I don't need the Supreme Court to tell me what marriage is. God's word does, amen. It tells us about the unity of marriage and how we're to love and honor one another. Amen. Your wife, Adam and Eve, she didn't come from a bone from his foot, from his side. You're to love your wife, not treat her like a dog. Say amen right there. And I know nobody does that here. I'm sure of that. And thank God for that. Can I say that the Word of God even instructs us about money. It instructs us about how we're to tithe and to give and how that God will bless you. I've met a lot of people that have nothing in this life. They've gotten older and you find out they haphazardly tithe. They didn't give much to God and they expect God to open the windows of heaven. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven if you give. I'll give it back to you. You can't outgive him. I'm telling you. Hey, it don't always have to be monetarily. I'm telling you, God's been good to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Instruction in the tabernacle. Then I thought about number three, that it invokes the memory of the blessings of God. That pot of manna represented the provision of God. Has God not been good to you and I? I thought about how that his supply is daily. That manna came every day. I thought about his surplus, how it's distributed. Thank God it never runs out. Then I thought about how that his schedule is detailed. That thank God he's never late and he's always on time. Amen. I remember reading a book many, many years ago. George Mueller had started those orphanages in the middle 1800s there in England. And I remember reading the book and he said that one time he had a bill that was due and it was due at 3 o'clock and there was no money. And it was 2 o'clock and there's still no money. And he said, Lord, you're going to have to do something. I've got to pay this bill at 3 o'clock. And sure enough, it wasn't long. Someone come, knocked on the door and said, Mr. Mueller, the Lord said to give this to you. And it paid the bill. And then he said one day they were sitting down at the breakfast table and there was no milk in the house. And so, Brother Dave, he said that he went ahead and poured the cereal anyway, and they blessed the food. And while that they were blessing the food, a knock come on the door, and a man said, hey, I've got a wagon full of milk, and the wheel just fell off. Can y'all use some milk? I'll tell you what happened. An angel went down there, kicked that wheel off, and said, hey, I've got some children that need some milk. I'm glad, thank God, he'll always come, always on time. I say hallelujah. He's never late. I'm telling you, 53 years of knowing him, he's taken care of me every step of the way. He's never been late. He's always on time. And he treats me better than I deserve. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless his good name. Amen.
It invokes the memory of God. Then can I say fourthly that we see that Aaron's rod that budded was in there, and that represents the importance of the man of God. You know what? The Lord reminds us two things, that God chooses the man, not people. You listen to me? You see, Dathan, thank God we got a good Dathan, amen? Not this one in Numbers chapter 16. But Numbers chapter 16, we find Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were complaining that Aaron and Moses was taking too much authority upon themselves. God chooses the man, God calls the man, and God controls the man. Not a deacon board. Well, I appreciate this church, appreciate our deacons. They don't fight our pastor. Thank God for that. The trustees don't run. You know, I have down through the years been on the road for several. I have preached in churches and still occasionally where the pastor has no idea what they're going to give me for an offering. He don't have control of that. I probably wouldn't pastor a church where I couldn't have control. Say amen right there. God calls the man and he puts him in charge and he's to have control. And thank God we have a pastor that will take that authority that God has given him. I have seen a few places where women run the church. What about that? God help us and we'll pass that on. But anyway, we find that we come to the house of God and we see the importance, Brother Clarity, of the man of God. I'm glad that I don't send my money to a radio evangelist or a TV evangelist. I put it in the house of God where a man of God stands up every Sunday and declares the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to give you four things, and we'll go to the house. We find, first of all, the benefits of dwelling in the tabernacle. You'll find in Numbers chapter 14, verse 7 and 8, number one, it made him a man of faith. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. It makes you more of a man of faith. Number one, he had faith in God's direction. God told them, chose out 12 spies to go out and spy out Canaan's land. And Joshua, he believed God and followed his direction. You know, maybe the reason you struggle in following the direction of the word of God is you're not faithful enough to the house of God and you're not faithful to the word of God, and therefore you don't follow God's direction. I'll tell you, God will never steer you wrong. Amen and amen. He had faith in God's direction. He had faith in God's deliverance. You know what he told those other spies that came back and discouraged everybody and said, we can't do it. They had a grasshopper complex and said, man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way. He said, if God favors us, if he has delight in us, then he'll give us this land. And you know what? He knew that God did have delight in them, and he had faith in God's deliverance. I'm glad I know that God can. I serve a man who can. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again, but thank God I know a man who can. I can't fix what's broken in your life tonight, but thank God there's one sitting on a throne who is able. Amen. We come to the house of God because it helps us with our faith. Number two, because it made him a man of fortitude. Now that's just a nice word of saying guts. He had guts. He was able to stand. We're living in a day where people don't want to stand. We're living in a day where I'm amazed. Preacher, I don't know if you see it where you go, but I'm amazed that there's starting to be churches that are getting a little familiar with homosexuality. They're starting to let it slip in a little bit. Well, you know, it's so-and-so's son, or it's so-and-so's daughter. No, I don't care who it is. It's wrong, and that'll never change. Amen. And I know there's men that I know personally that they either got a son or a daughter, and at first they wouldn't associate with that. But now they bring them and their other one, and they bring them over to the house, and they sit down in fellowship. You say, I'm telling you, I wouldn't do that. No, I'm not condoning that garbage. I'm not letting both of them come to my house. My great niece said, can we come to the Christmas gathering? I said, absolutely not. She can stay at the house. You can come if you want to, but you're not coming together. We don't condone that garbage, and we're not going to. Amen. Now, see, it may be sometimes coming to your family, you'll have to make a stand. Joshua was a man of fortitude. Can I say, first of all, that they were on offense when it came to the battle in Joshua chapter 2. They were not sitting around waiting for the enemy. We don't need to be sitting around waiting for the enemy. We need to be busy about God's work. I was privileged to go last night to the prison as well. I could have stayed at the house, Brother Dave, but I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to go. I wanted to preach. I got to preach, got to lead some men to Christ. Thank God for that. We need to be on offense when it comes to the battle. Can I say number two? They were obedient when it comes to the battle. You'll find in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, God told them to cross the Jordan River. And he said it was harvest time and the banks were overflowing with water. But you know what they did? They obeyed God anyway. The more that you come to the house of God, the more faithful you are, the more obedient you'll be to the work of God and the will of God. Amen. To be obedient. You know, a lot of times we don't know what's up ahead, but thank God, Brother Danny, we come to God's house, we hear preaching, singing, fellowship. It gives us the courage to keep marching on and go forward for the things of God. Amen. I thank God for the church. Amen. They were obedient. And of course, you know the story. The priest put their foot in the water. The Jordan River parted, stood up like a wall. They took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. They put it and made a memorial so that they, Brother Brian, could tell the next generation what God had done. I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to talk about a church how it used to be. I've seen a lot of them. I pray Bible never becomes a used to be. Oh, listen, I want to tell generations what God is doing now, what God is working now, how that he's still saving sinners and changing lives, and he's still at work. I'm glad God's still working tonight. Our God isn't dead, amen. I tell you, the average church is dead as a hammer, but thank God there's still some where the Holy Ghost can breathe in and come in, and he's welcomed. I say God is welcomed here, and I thank God for that. I'm grateful the Holy Ghost will breathe in here every now and then and work in the midst. What a blessing that is. Amen. They were obedient when it comes to the battle. Can I say there was omission when it comes to the battle? Early in Joshua chapter 5, in the early verses, he talked about circumcision. He said, now you got to circumcise the males that were born in the wilderness. You know what? There is time we got to cut some things out of our life. Mm-hmm. Things that become distractions. Things that get in the way. You know, sometimes I go to churches year after year after year, and then there's people that's not there that used to be there. And you ask the pastor, where's so-and-so? Well, they just haven't been coming a lot lately. You know why? They got distracted by something. Something has got their attention. It may be an individual. It may be a hobby. It may be video games. It may be the phone. I don't know. But they got distracted, and therefore the devil's got them away from the house of God. And so you know what you got to do? You got to cut it out. I just say, you know what? It's time to get that out. You know what God told Joshua? He said, I'm rolling away the reproach of Egypt off of you this day. You know what? When God saved us, he brought us up out of Egypt. And he don't want you to have the leeks and the garlics and the onions in your pocket. He wants you to get rid of them. Thank God that you might act like a Christian, walk like one, talk like one, and live like one. Amen. Amen. They had some omission when it comes to the battle. Can I say number four? There was an officer when it comes to the battle. And we heard Brother Stephen Barnes preach on that so good the other day. We know that Joshua found out that there is an administrator. There's a captain. He found out that there's to be adoration, that there is to be worship. You know what will help you in your battle more than anything? Keep worshiping God. When you quit worshiping, you're going to dry up. It's going to get discouraging to you. I'm telling you, I like it, Brother Dave, when I pray and the Holy Ghost meets with me and I have a time right there in either the motel or the prophet's chamber or in my own study. I like worship, hallelujah. I tell him every day how good he is, how wonderful he is, how he's blessed me, how I love him. Thank God. I thank him every morning for Calvary and the old rugged cross and how he came where I live and picked me up off of an old bar and took me down the house of God. I bless his name every day. I want it to be real in my soul. Every morning I wake up, you've got to worship in the battle, amen. Because if you're not, you'll get in a rut. You get in a rut. Can I say number five, there was observance when it comes to the battle. You know what they observed? God's purpose. God had a plan. Geographically, we find that Jericho was in the way of Canaan's land. So, Brother Brian, that's why God said you got to destroy it. Sometimes you got to get things out of your life and destroy it to get victory. To get into Canaan's land, you got to remove the Jerichos that are in your life. They observed God's plan. They did what God said to do. Not only his purpose, but his plan. He told them how to march around. One time, 6 days. The seven times, the seventh day. How to blow the trumpet. Then they observed God's power. The wall fell down flat. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but I heard a preacher say it many years ago, and I thought, you know, there may be something to that. He said the way they marched and that noise of those trumpets, he said, the Bible said the wall fell down flat. What if it sunk in the ground? I don't know what it did. If it fell down this way, that wall was 6 or 8 feet. They'd have to climb over. I don't know, but I tell you what I do know. I know that the power of God was observed, and God dropped that wall one way or the other because of their obedience. They got to observe God working in their life. I'm afraid today we don't see that a lot because we don't observe and be obedient to God. I'm afraid we're living haphazard Christian lives. Oh, we got to get back to being on fire where God's word and God's house means more to us than a movie and a film and a phone. And it means more to us than a hobby. It means more to us than money. It means more to us than anything. Amen. Got to get back to that. You see, Joshua was a man who had fortitude. Number three, just about done, he's a man of fervor. The Bible said in Numbers 27, verse 18, he had the spirit. God told Moses to lay his hand on Joshua because he had the spirit in him. He had a spirit of willingness. I wonder how willing we are to do things. I can remember years ago, the church that I worked at in North Carolina worked out of, the pastor said, I can't get people to help in the youth camp like we used to. That's been 15 years ago. People quit volunteering. They quit wanting to help. Thank God for people that'll help. It takes everybody, amen? You see, a spirit of willingness, amen. Then the Bible tells us that he had a spirit of wisdom. You know where wisdom comes from? It comes from the Word of God. Amen. It comes from study. It comes from preaching. I love studying the Bible. and I've got a thick head, and so I've got to read it over 14 times before it gets in there. But I love study, and I love, Brother Lamar, when I study something and I see something that I've never seen before, and I've read it 50 times. I love the Bible because it's real. Amen. We get wisdom. That is why we come to the house of God. I love to get preached to. Amen. I like it. I listen to it on YouTube. I need preaching as much as you do. I preach all the time, but I need preaching. Hallelujah. We need to be dealt with sometime. We need to be encouraged sometime. Need to be rebuked sometime. Thank God we need to be reproved sometime. But I like it all. Amen. I thank God for a man of fervor. We need to get back to having the spirit of willingness and wisdom. And that comes from dwelling in the house of God. The benefits. Man, Joshua didn't want to leave the tabernacle. Brother Andrew, he said, Moses, you go ahead. I think I'll just stay around here a little while. You know, thank God this church fellowships, but I've been to a few churches over the years, and I mean, some of the lights out 5 minutes, there's nobody there. I mean, son, when the service is over, they're gone. No fellowship. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. There's something wrong about that. Amen. There's just something about being in the house of God. He was a man of fervor. And then can I say fourthly, and I'm done, he was a man to finish. You find in Joshua 24, three things. Number one, he was dedicated because he said, serve the Lord in sincerity. You know what that word means? It means entirely. It means completely. It means give it all to him. That means, young people, if he wants to change your plans, that you will let him change your plans. He did mine. I was just 2 months from graduating from high school, and he dealt with me about going to work at a children's home. Man, it was about 6 months after I graduated from high school. But I'd got a job making decent money, and as a young man, I wasn't lazy, and I decided I was going to work two jobs to make a fistful of money. And God said, I've got different plans for you. And he put me at a children's home making $150 a month. Isn't that a blessing? But can I tell you that I've never done without?
Yeah.
But you know what God did? He changed my plans. He called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I was scared to death to preach. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything, but I can't preach. He said, you're going to preach. Then I said, Lord, I don't want to go to Bible college. He said, you're going to Bible college. And then I said, Lord, I don't want to be a missionary. I love America. Apple pie, hot dogs, all that. I want to stay here. Amen. You can tell I've eaten a few hot dogs. But anyway. And he dealt with me for a year about being a missionary. And I surrendered to be a missionary, Brother Brian. And I thought in my mind I was going to Australia. Prayed about it all the way until in my third year. Me and Patty were already married. And every time I'd mention it, Brother Daniel would just, God would say no. All he wanted me was to be willing to go. And I'd still go today if that's what he wanted me to do. God will change your plans if you allow him to. He wants control. I can remember as a young man that song where it talked about change my dreams and my plans if that's what it takes. Draw me closer to thee. I wonder if we will be dedicated. He was a dedicated man. Number two, he's a devoted man. He said, get all the other gods out of your life. Number three, he was a determined man. Because here's what he said. He said, you know what? I don't know what you fellows are going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what your plans. I wonder how many young people tonight has really made that declaration. You know, I don't know what my brothers and sisters are going to do. But I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know what mom and dad's going to do, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know what my friends are going to do, but I'm going to serve the Lord. It'd do us good tonight to get on this old-fashioned altar and ask God to help us to be dedicated and stay in his house. We're standing tonight. They're going to come with the song.